Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joe Osho, 670 The Score. Our buddy Chris Swick joins me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Shop over 500 new and used vehicles at Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. And you can find Chris's work, yahoosports.com. He's on Twitter at Chris_Swick with a C. What's going on, Chris?
Not much. I have a feeling that we might be on the same page with these negotiations, but I'm getting a little exhausted at this point.
Oh, man. I was so happy. Just locally, there was a little bit of Bears news out there, so I started my show with that just because I didn't want to yell about Manfred and the owners once again.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I've definitely been planning, I think, more in my head for fantasy football because I feel a lot more confident that the NFL is going to happen. And all my baseball planning I did months ago is just kind of slowly seeping out of my mind.
So, but the planning that you did have is now we can just start planning for 48 games, right? They're going to continue this dance over the next few weeks, but that's what's going to happen in the end, right?
I certainly think we're leaning that way. I think what we're going to see now is the owners will probably come back with a counter proposal, which will be far fewer games. You know, on their end, they're looking for essentially the fewest games as possible because they would pay the players the least amount of money and the owners would not lose as much money without fans in the stands. The players obviously want the most games possible. They want to get paid. They also, it's an easier sell to fans to say, well, look, we want to play as many games as possible. We want to give you as much of a full season as we can. But ultimately, I think, you know, Manfred has the ability to try and force a short season. And It seems like we're kind of leaning that way. And at that point, the players union is going to have to decide, are we going to stand united and refuse to play, or do we feel like we don't have enough power to sit out this season?
With the offer that we saw yesterday from the owners, the underreported part was it was only 50% guaranteed, while a lot of people, 75%, that's not that bad. But when you look at that 82-game offer, that's 57 games full prorated pay. Does any part of you have any hope that maybe they'll bump that up a little bit and give us 60-plus instead of just waiting on 48?
I have a hard time with that because it seems like the owner's offer really hasn't changed much or hasn't improved much in the, what is it, two or three different versions we've seen. So you said it was, what, 57? So
57,
I could maybe,
right.
I could maybe see it bumping to 60, but I guess I'm not expecting a big change on either side at this point. I'm almost expecting the owners to basically put out, you know, the ultimatum offer of you're doing this 48 game season or you're doing nothing, and the union having to deal with whatever they're going to do in that situation.
With Chris Swick, yahoosports.com. In that scenario, let's say it plays out in that way, how many playoff teams do we have?
It seems like everyone's kind of on board for expanded. So I know this most recent offer by the players, I think, was 8 per league. seems excessive, but I think the way that they're looking at it is the playoffs is where baseball makes a lot of money. This would give the owners the opportunity to get a couple extra playoff games. I mean, I think the players are looking at that as an olive branch and saying, well, look, we're giving you extra playoff games. That's where you're going to make up the difference. So I have a feeling it's going to be expanded. I don't know if it's going to be that many teams, but it certainly seems like it's going to be more than the usual six per league.
Chris, I'm getting up there in age, but I'm not that old. I mean, I lived to see the 89 Cubs participate in a four-team postseason, and now we're talking about the majority of the teams making the postseason.
Right. Yeah, and I think the offer there would be for the next two seasons, so it's kind of the thinking there would be that it would get them past the delay of loss in salary from the coronavirus stuff in revenue. And then, it, you know, maybe it would go back to a normal type thing that we've been used to. But it's kind of hard to say, because if this really does work out and those playoffs and the extra teams really bring in a lot of revenue, well, that's not something the owners are going to want to get rid of when the next collective bargaining agreement expires. So it's a tough situation.
All right, I'm going to ask a question that you probably won't have an answer to, but it's just a sobering thought. Are they going to start baseball on time in 2021?
It really depends on what they do here. I think a major complication with all of this that's going on now is the collective bargaining agreement expires after the 2021 season. So if they're going to go through this fight now and play a shortened season now and then a full season next year and then do this all over again, that almost doesn't make sense to me. I feel like if the players are really unhappy, I could see them striking this year, and then that throws next season just completely out the window to me, because would they really come back, play one season, and then have the same exact labor arguments again in 2021? That to me is the big thing. It's a really tough situation on both sides, because I think the owners maybe don't recognize how dire it could be if they're not going to play baseball this year, and then potentially after 2021 when that expires. So, yeah, again, I don't have a great answer for you there.
Yeah.
I definitely have a lot of concern about the CBA expiring after next season.
Chris, how much should we blame Rob Manfred for this mess?
Probably quite a bit. You know, Rob Manfred, I think the job of any sports commissioner is to, you know, A, do what's best for the game, but in consideration of both the players and the owners. And I think what we've seen with baseball and with Manfred in particular is he works for the owners first and foremost. So I think a lot of what he's done has been to maximize the revenue and profits of baseball at any expense possible. And that's worked. Baseball profits were a record high, I think $10.7 billion last year. Meanwhile, you know, we saw two really bad free agency years before things kind of rebounded last offseason. We've seen attendance go down. I think it's a lot of it is what he's brought on is revenue at the cost of, you know, fandom, making the game more accessible, stuff like that, that I think certainly makes them a lot of money in the short term and could have really long lasting and damaging effects in the long term.
Since we're not getting any games, are you going to be paying closer attention to tomorrow's draft compared to most years?
Well, I would say if the world wasn't the way it is currently, I would probably care a lot more. I think what I've had, especially the last few weeks, has just it's been harder for me to care as much about sports and baseball. Obviously, I welcome any type of distraction from everything going on to, you know, the protests, protesting, you know, racial injustice and COVID. I think we could all use something to distract us and something to enjoy, like sports, but it's been just increasingly difficult for me to focus on those things. So I can't say that I will be tuned into the draft and taking notes after every single pick tomorrow. I will probably tune in for a little bit and read up on it from the, you know, trusted people and analysts who actually study these players.
You mind me asking where you live?
Yeah, so my wife and I, we moved back to Illinois last year, and we're currently in Arlington Heights.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I could have sworn you were out east or something. I didn't know you were back here.
Yeah, we were in Seattle for a while.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked to see what was going on Saturday when you saw those protests reaching out like 20 city blocks. When I saw some images of what was going on in Wicker Park, I mean, that's where I used to live just a few years ago.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch. I know even this weekend, you know, I took our kid for a drive just to get out of the house for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then there were protests in Arlington Heights, which really surprised me. And there was a nice turnout there. So, I've been surprised in a good way about just how much people have gotten out and what we've seen, not just in major cities, but kind of all around the state.
Chris, this is kind of keeping it in sports, but what I've been really pleased with is some of the athletes, and I'm talking about some athletes with star power. Now, the world that we live in sports media, what we've gotten used to over the last few years, and part of it's just all of our attention span, we're just always moving on to the next thing. And a couple of weeks ago, I was wondering how that was going to play out. And we're sitting here nearly 2 weeks later, and a lot of the athletes across all sports, more so in football and basketball than in Major League Baseball, but it's gone. I've certainly noticed that these athletes are forcing these conversations to continue in our corners of the world.
Yeah, I think that has been a major difference from some of the other similar situations we've seen the last couple of years. It seems like this is the time where a lot of people, not just athletes, but a lot of people are looking at it as we can't stay silent anymore. So I agree with you. I think it's been very refreshing to see a lot of athletes speak out and be honest. Not just baseball, like you said. I was following a lot of the Bears stuff, where you know they had that Zoom call, and it seems like players were really affected by that. And Mike Lennon got thrown under the bus in one of the interviews after that. So, but no, I mean, I think that you know a lot of that stuff has been good, and I think for people who maybe don't recognize the issues as much or haven't had to pay attention in the past. You know, if they're seeing someone like Tim Anderson or Lucas Giolito talk about it, you know, maybe they think, oh, hey, I should maybe educate myself a little bit more than I normally would. And maybe that helps someone become sympathetic or empathetic to the people who are currently suffering.
That's the news that I actually started with today. You may not have seen it because it happened later this afternoon, but new Bears safety Jordan Lucas was on a conference call with the media, and he said 110% he's going to be kneeling before games this year. This is a guy that's going to be fighting for a roster spot. And a week ago, we heard from Akeem Hicks. He was scared. And Lucas said 3-4 years ago, he regrets not joining Colin Kaepernick and not speaking up. It's amazing what we've been hearing. It certainly seems like what we see this fall on the sidelines, it's going to be a whole new world. And the player empowerment seems real. I hope Roger Goodell follows through with some of the things that he had to say. It's kind of feels like a little bit like the NBA right now with the player empowerment.
I agree, and I'd be very interested to see if that carries over to baseball. because the only player who has knelt, Bruce Maxwell, is now out of the game. It's harder for me to say whether we see that as much in baseball. It seems like opinions are changing, and we've seen a lot of players speak out, but it's still hard for me to think, you know, baseball is very looking toward the past type of sport. It's always, I always like to think when you talk about the great baseball players compared to other sports, you're always talking about, like, you know, people will mention, oh, Babe Ruth, like Ted Williams was the best hitter of all time. Whereas in football, a lot of people are content to say, oh, well, Tom Brady is the best quarterback ever. Or it's more current in other sports, I've always felt. And with baseball, it's always looking toward the past. And I feel like that's just sport-wide. I mean, that's how it works. People, it's hesitant to change. They're always thinking that things were better, you know, 40 years ago. And I don't know. I feel like that maybe carries on to other aspects of the sport that are a little uglier than, you know, simply saying, oh, Babe Ruth was, you know, the best player ever, or whatever the argument is.
As a baseball fan, and I'm sure you, we haven't talked about this, but I'm sure you felt similarly. It was so disappointing that it took so long for Major League Baseball to come out and say something. And the first thing we hear is about an internal memo from Rob Manfred. And then some of these teams have just fumbled it, like with the Cubs statement. And then thankfully, Theo came out and kind of spoke for the organization a little bit yesterday.
Well, yeah, I think the White Sox are really up there with one of the more disappointing statements. I think they put out one thing. It was not descriptive at all. It was just kind of a basic unity type thing. Yeah, I've kind of gone back and forth on this a little bit. I initially, my feelings were, you know, what are major companies and organizations like baseball or like whatever mega corporation that we all buy stuff from, you know, what are they really going to say that's going to be useful or eye-opening to me? And I read Mark Carrick did a piece for The Athletic where he basically said, you know, this is the time to speak up and say something. And even if it doesn't necessarily meet exactly what you're looking for, the fact that you're acknowledging it and bringing awareness to it is important. And so that kind of turned me to, even if a lot of these teams are releasing statements that some people find lacking, the fact that they're doing it still has value and importance. And also that's the reason why I think I can sit here and criticize what the White Sox did, because they addressed nothing. I mean, you could put that out 4 years from now and it could apply to a lot of different situations. So I think that's my frustration with them specifically. Acknowledge George Floyd's death, acknowledge why we're having protests currently. They didn't do any of that.
And just league-wide, I believe Mark Carrick also brought this up, and I know Scott Miller wrote about it. I talked to him on the show on Friday. Just, you know, as a league, every April 15th, you have this celebration. Everybody's wearing Jackie Robinson's number, and then it's radio silence for nearly a couple weeks when the entire world is talking about this, and they're acting like they're too busy negotiating this deal.
Totally. And yeah, I think, you know, baseball very conveniently hides behind the Jackie Robinson Day stuff often. The fact that that's kind of the only thing that they really do to celebrate what he's done for the game and what he meant for the game is frankly a little embarrassing. So I think if you're going to use his legacy in that way and really try and build up that specific day, you owe him a lot more. You owe baseball fans a lot more to actually do something meaningful and use that legacy for good and not just a way to show the minimal way or the smallest way possible to show that they care with you know, a day and numbers. You can do so much more.
Yeah, 100%. Chris, really enjoyed the conversation. We're going to bug you again soon, okay?
That sounds good to me, yeah. And when things clear up, I'd be happy to come down and chat.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. I'll let you know when we're allowed to go back to the studios. I've been working from home the last 3 months.
Yeah, you're in my world. So, yeah, whenever that happens, I'd be more than happy.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris.
All right, have a good one.
Chris Swick, Yahoo Sports, local guy covering Major League Baseball.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.